Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh my God. You guys suck. You guys are horrible people. On my email, bewilderness. Yeah, I don't know what happened when I was talking to the lady. I got screwed up on the word bewildered, and I found myself in a field with nobody to help. It was like, help me. I'm in a quicksand of a word, and I can't figure out what I'm doing wrong. Yeah, you guys, you caught that, didn't you? Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Actually, wait a minute. I might have an out on this one. When you invent a new word, there's an actual word for inventing a new word. It's called neology. So I didn't make a mistake. How dare you? I'm a neologist. Aha! I did make up a word, unithink. At least I think I made it up. I don't know. But yeah, you guys are pretty ruthless sending me emails. You suck. You're not very nice to me sometimes. I'm your friend. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. Can I borrow $20? Anyway, welcome to the show. Good to be with you. If you see any traffic nonsense happening, you can use the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 803-0930. And good luck to you. Well, not good luck, but well, good luck if you're trying to get home. But yeah, every now and again, I do screw up a word. I can't deny that. But if you listen to this show enough, one of the things that you will understand, I lead the league of screwing up people's names. I am a serial murderer of people's names. No ifs, no ands, no buts. I don't know why. I think I inherited it from my father. And, oh, the other thing, too, I am horrible with faces. If I see a face out of context, I can't identify it. I know it sounds strange. The worst, I've told you guys this before, true story, no lie. I'm at a restaurant. I was not expecting somebody to show up. I looked at her. It took me 5 seconds to realize that's mom. That's a true story. I'm not making it up. I don't know what it is. I mean, it is some kind of a disease, but it's horrible. I mean, it's very embarrassing. I got to be honest with you. Very embarrassing, but hey, it is what it is, and I'm just telling you the truth. After all, guys, I claim mediocrity every single day. I promise you at least mediocrity. Sometimes we overshoot, sometimes we undershoot, but mediocrity is me. So, hey, what we're doing is this is like a typical Bowerly topic, okay? It's something I pulled out of my nether regions because the premise of it goes like this. Unlike Florida, where people are in and out all the time, it's very transient, all right? And there's other places like that too, Hollywood, New York City, whatever. We have in Western New York a community, okay? Like, as you listen to my show, I know that most of you out there know somebody who knows me, and I know somebody who knows you. It's just what we are. We are a community of people, and sometimes it's kind of cool. Sometimes it's a pain in the butt. Sometimes it's pretty cool. But one of the things that is kind of, I think it is unique or pretty unique to cities of this size, you can simply say a few words of a news story that happened during your lifetime, and anybody else who is alive and conscious and sentient during that lifetime will have an immediate flashback to that particular story. Now, they're not always pleasant. Sometimes they can be good memories, but they're not always pleasant. Some of them are sports related, okay? Now, this is not to be confused with things that used to be here that aren't anymore. That's a totally different topic. This is, okay, that one news story that for whatever reason you think of, and maybe you even Googled it to see if there's anything online about it because it intrigues you. Something I can't believe has not come up yet is the horrible tragedy of the school fire we had in the 1950s in, was it Maryvale? There, we lost a couple dozen children in a school fire right here in Western New York. We did. And for that generation, it was kind of like their 3407. And, you know, when Bill, I believe, called in from Eden, I remember the story of the helicopter that was trying to rescue people at Niagara Falls, and the helicopter itself went into the drink. And I think most of the people were rescued, if I'm not mistaken. There's a guy named Chris Carlin, used to be a Niagara County Sheriff's Deputy. He wrote a book, Protecting Niagara, I think is its title. And I don't know why I remember that. That's bizarre. But anyway, a lot of this stuff is in there. But October surprise. When I say those words, you know exactly where you were the night that storm hit. You know exactly what you had to do, right? And I've told you this. Somebody says October surprise. My first thought is the cracking of tree limbs, the flashing of electrical boxes as they blew up, and running to the gas station knowing that without electricity, my car was not going to get to work the next day on fumes. So that was the first thing I did. So what are those stories on your mind? And, you know, the escapee, and I look, I hate to use his name, and I no disrespect to any of my state trooper buddies, because believe me, they were very, very pissed off at some of the hero worship of this guy, Bucky Phillips. But you know what? I that story, we all remember it vividly. And I can't believe that was our first call on this topic, because when I was watching the movie The Highwaymen with Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, which is about the law enforcement side of going after Bonnie and Clyde, I was thinking about, wow, this hero worship of these psychotic killers, Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow, reminds me of what happened in Chautauqua County just a few years ago. And here's a guy who broke out of jail and shot and seriously wounded a cop and then sneaked up upon a couple of troopers staking out his house and killed one of them. Longobardo, I believe, was his name. And, yeah. So when I say these things to you, you have memories of what you were doing when it happened. And some of these stories you would think are obscure, but when somebody mentions them, you are amazed at the amount of recall you have on the details. So what are those stories that were for whatever reason, you've never forgotten those stories, and they are part of our shared community experience in Western New York. I'm fascinated by this. What you guys remember, what I remember, what I don't remember. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And I love, oh, we've got so many great calls. We've got so many great calls. Let's go to Philip in Hamburg. Philip, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, sir.
I do have a story to tell you, but when you brought up the October storm, the one thing I do remember about that, at the time, I used to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I was in bed before 9 o'clock, you know, the night before the storm, and my neighbor knocks on my door, and he says, you better move your car because my tree is ready to fall on top of it.
Oy.
And it's a good thing that he did because the next morning his tree was laying in my driveway.
Oh, well, thank God. Well, I'm glad you got great. I've got great neighbors too, but I'm glad you do.
My other story is, I don't know, do you remember the local band called The Thirds with Joe Head and Charlie O'Neill?
I do remember a band called The Thirds. I could not tell you the lineup.
Yeah, Joe Head, I mean, you must...
I know the name Joe Head.
Yeah, he did a lot of acoustic stuff on his own, but Charlie O'Neill, who was my guitar teacher at the time, he would bring in, like, national guitar players to the studio next to the Sportsman's Tavern on Amherst Street. And these guys would do guitar clinics. Well, the one night he was bringing in Monty Montgomery. And I don't know if you know the name Monty Montgomery or not.
I remember Wes Montgomery, but not Monty.
If you ever get a chance, look him up on YouTube. He's a phenomenal guitar player. That night of this guitar clinic, I was ready to go down to the Sportsman. And that's when the night of the fire on Riverside, when that pool supply place went up in flames.
Oh, really? Now, see, when you talk about that, I remember that vividly. Hold on, because that's actually come up a couple of times in recent days. Don't go anywhere. But that pool supply fire, I do know why, because I know some Buffalo firefighters, and I heard some things about all the damage that was done to a lot of people that nobody ever knew about. But a lot of firefighters got really badly hurt in that. I'll tell you, we did an amazing job yesterday. Pasquale Maggiore, Brendan Keeney, Tom Puckett, they were sensational with the coverage of the fire. It was amazing to watch those guys work. Let us go back to Philip in Hamburg, who remembers, because of a personal reason, he was going down to the Sportsman, the fire at the pool supply place, I think on Niagara Street.
Yeah. The fires on Niagara Street, and of course, they're on Amherst Street, was the Sportsman. And there was just a lot of detouring that night, and the toxic smell was brutal. I mean, the whole west side just was, the smell was just was terrible. I mean, it was coming into your car and everything like that. But they still had the guitar clinic and everything. They still had it going, so it was a good night.
Well, I'm happy that it was okay for you, because earlier in that day, I believe that was one of those 90-degree humid days, and the Buffalo firefighters really had a lot on their hands. And it was, you mentioned the smell. They were right on top of it. They were right on top of some really nasty chemicals. And, you know, a lot of them, it messed up their entire lives.
Oh, that's awful. I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. It was awful.
No, true story. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Somebody just sent me a picture. Mark sent me a picture of himself in the cockpit of the F9 Cougar at Kenny Field in Tonawanda at Brighton and Colvin. The night the plane came in, he sat in the cockpit. Now it's all like sheet metal or something. This is a cool picture. I should really post it if I can. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN. News stories that just demonstrate what a community we are. We're a stable community. Radio hosted by a very unstable man. Let's go to Gail in West Seneca. Gail, you're on WBEN.
Oh, hi, Tom. I understand nobody mentioned Green Lightning yet.
Oh, my, I can't. Green Lightning. I love this. Do you want to tell the story of Green Lightning?
No, you can have the honors.
Okay. There was a statue that was put up by an artist. Was it Billy Lovelace?
I'm not sure.
Gotta look up the name, but the statue was Green Lightning. Green Lightning was supposedly a dancing dog bone. No, 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 no. It was a dancing Wang. Looks like an enormous Willie.
I just cannot believe.
And Jimmy Griffin ordered the statue taken down. And as I recall, it then went to Chicago, where it was a sensation.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that part. I knew it was taken down pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it is now. I know somebody wrote something about it on the internet. I'm going to have to check that out during the break. Yes, Green Lightning, ladies and gentlemen, the dancing Willie that got Mayor Griffin's attention. I can still picture Irv Weinstein's face. They kept rolling the video over and over, like the time Irv Weinstein had a close-up of women making sausage, and it looked like a whole bunch of women. It looked like a Robert Kraft moment. That's all I can say. I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Green. Okay, folks, that is exactly why I'm doing this topic. There are not many communities where somebody could call in and just say Green Lightning. And if you were alive at the time, you are laughing your butt off. And Jimmy Griffin had it torn down. It looked like a dancing. Sir, you better take a look at this on radar. What is it, son? It looks like an enormous. By the way, somebody ripped us off yesterday, Pasquale. Somebody on the internet. We talked about Jeff Bezos being Dr. Evil and the spaceship looking like the spaceship Dr. Evil had in Austin Powers. Somebody actually put that on video and put it online. We were ahead of the curve on that, Pasquale, just so you know. But it did, that spaceship yesterday, so-called, the similarity between that and the Dr. Evil craft cannot be missed. It really can't be. And if you haven't watched Austin Powers, it is a hilarious movie. Mike Myers may be a very deeply disturbed human being, but man, he was funny in those.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, All I mention is, hey, I'm really in the mood for some yacht music tonight. And Pasquale just picks up the ball and runs with it. Pasquale Maggiore, he is the man. If I sound good at all, it's because of Pasquale Maggiore, who is a master at his craft. He truly is. Anyway, welcome to the show. No ball games tonight at the ballpark we discussed with Brian Culpa, the supervisor of Amherst, earlier. Specifically, I'm talking about... Oh my gosh, I don't know why. This is just one of those weird days. Did I not get enough sleep? At Mathewson McCarthy Park. Okay, it's on Worley. I only drive by it all the time. But funny thing is, my friends actually, well, Billy and Courtney, they were talking to me last night and said, hey, our kid has a ball game tomorrow night. What do you think? And I said, to be honest with you, I don't think I'd let my kid play tomorrow night because I think they need the test just to make sure, because I kept hearing about the hazardous materials. Now, that was last night. Now, the good news is they were doing continuous air and water monitoring, the experts, and no hazardous levels of dangerous stuff were emitted in the fire. And I mean, everybody was going crazy on social media. Oh, it's cyanide. It's this. It's that. And I was like, I have an idea. Let's wait until the facts come out. And that's exactly what Brian Culpa, the supervisor of Amherst, did. But still, I applaud his decision. Better safe than sorry. You can always replay a ball game, and that's that. So, I tell you something. I have the greatest talk show audience in the world because this is an out there topic to try to explain to people, but you guys got it, all right? The bottom line, the thesis of the show has been we in Western New York have a community. Most of us are long-haul people. We've been here for a while. So when you say certain words, news stories, and what you were doing when you heard about them immediately flash into your mind. For example, great example, October surprise, the storm, October of what, 06, and you remember vividly what you did. Another one, a blast from the past, green lightning. Green lightning, I put the Wikipedia link up there. Green lightning was a statue that was... There's just no way to say it politely. It was a dancing Willie. And Mayor Griffin was disgusted by it, ordered it torn down. And the rest, as they say, is history. You can read online. And one more thing. The airplane at what is now Kenny Field in Tonawanda, Brighton and Colvin, near where my friends John and Winnie live. They've got great neighbors across in the cemetery. They don't make a lot of noise. But anyway, this guy sent me a picture of himself in the cockpit of the plane the night the plane arrived in Tonawanda. And I posted it on Facebook, and I am so jealous because all of us kids in Tonawanda, when our parents might have been playing softball, we'd climb on the plane, which you can no longer do. What, liability, whatever? I don't know. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, look, some of these stories are happy to remember. Some of them are tragic to remember. The Olean sniper, that's not a happy one, but do you remember that? It's like over Easter break, his name Anthony Barbaro, and he, I think, killed four people with a .22 rifle. And he died in his jail cell, as I recall. Not a happy memory at all. Let's go to Darius in Huntsville, Alabama. Darius, we're talking about news stories where if you just give us a few words, we'll know if we're long haul Western New Yorkers.
Okay, Tom. Hey, 76, Club Lakewood burned down. That's my big memory.
Whoa. I was a little young, and I have to be honest, I never heard of Club Lakewood.
Yeah. Well, it happened to be the it was a great place for rock and roll for the kids to gather before, you know, the cocaine and heroin, you know, epidemic took over. It was in Youngstown, New York, and when I heard it was burning, my heart broke.
Oh, that's horrible. A little smoke on the water locally.
Yeah, yeah.
What else you got?
What else do I have? Well, the first time I ever knew I was a Western New Yorker when I was out of town, when I was playing hockey on the ice, and a guy slashed me, cross-checked me, whatever. I called him a dupa.
All right. Not quite the topic today, Darius. You're a little off the mark today, but I'm glad you called. Little off the mark. I mean, there were news stories that, like, we've all heard of where you say a couple of words and you can probably get people to say, whoa. Now, if you want to mention concerts, was it Lynyrd Skynyrd, Century Theater, balcony, shaking? People thought it was going to collapse. Was that it? That's a vague memory for me. I was a child. Let's go to some more calls on WBEN. Oh, my goodness. Douglas in Cheektowaga. Douglas, welcome. You are on.
Yes, Tom. I really enjoy your show. A pleasure to get to speak to you.
Well, thank you kindly.
The memory that I have is Winston Moseley.
Oh.
Do you recall that name?
I do recall that name because he stabbed that woman to death in New York City, Kitty Genovese.
That's exactly right.
And they took him to Western New York, and I believe he stuffed like a can into his rectum so he'd have to go to the hospital, from which he escaped and then went on a rape spree, as I recall.
Hello?
Yeah, is that the story?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I was 11 years old at the time. And I can remember that, you know, the women in Western New York were really in an uproar because he had escaped from the hospital. And, you know, I can recall my mom, you know, making sure that we locked the doors and everything. And it was a big story at the time.
Yes, it certainly was. In fact, my eighth grade health teacher was obsessed with the Winston Moseley story, absolutely obsessed. And, I mean, she just seemed to take such great delight in saying, and he inserted a can inside of himself. Like, woo, getting a little dramatic here, aren't we? I mean, we're in eighth grade. But, yeah, Winston Moseley. Is he still alive?
No, he died at 81 years old several years ago.
Hey. Well, Douglas, absolutely. Anybody who is alive and... Do you remember the year? Or are you going to make me look it up online?
It was 1968 because I was 11 years old.
68. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I remember being a little kid, and I mean the name is easy to remember, Winston Moseley. But he first achieved criminal infamy with his murder of Kitty Genovese in New York City, and there was this theory later proven to be not true. That people didn't call the police because they didn't want to be involved with authorities because it was a heavily Jewish neighborhood or something. But that was an urban myth because I repeated that once on the air and somebody said, no, Tom, you're wrong. And I looked it up and you're right. I was wrong. So, Douglas, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
And thank you, Tom. Keep up the good work.
Well, I'll try my best for mediocrity. I'll make that deal with you.
All right.
All right, man. Thank you. Winston Moseley. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to, oh, I can't believe this one brings back really bad memories, and I will tell you why. It's a horrible story. Rick in Amherst, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show. You say a couple of words, and we're going to see if everybody remembers the news story to which you are referring.
Okay. City Hall flagpole.
City Hall flagpole. absolutely vividly remember this. Absolutely vividly. What do you remember about that? And I don't want to use the poor guy's name.
I don't even remember the name. I don't even remember how old I was. I just remember sitting in the family room watching like the 6 o'clock news. And I think it was Irv Weinstein at the time.
Yes.
He talked about the story and, you know, he gave a lead into it. And then he said, what we're about to show you will be pretty graphic pictures. And I'm thinking, how bad could this be? And then on the screen shows this individual speared by the flagpole. And it was like just burned into my memory.
It is burned. Anybody who saw those newscasts, and by the way, I knew Irv Weinstein. Okay, I've got pictures of Irv and your humble host together. Irv liked me. Irv was a tremendous encouraging force in my life. But I have to tell you that Channel 7 back in the mid-1970s showing the footage of this man who had committed suicide by jumping from the observation deck of City Hall and then impaling himself on the flagpole was one of the worst judgment calls I've ever seen in the news industry. It was absolutely distasteful. It was unnecessary, hurtful, and uncalled for. And I've always felt horrible for that poor man's family. I mean, no matter how many warnings they prefaced that video with, it still did not need to be aired.
Probably not. Do you have time for just one more?
Well, but let me just allow me to tell you, do you know whose job it was to bring the flagpole down?
No, hopefully not yours.
It was my father's. My father was working for an erection company, Higgins Erectors and Haulers, way back when. And they were the people who had to get the crane down in front of City Hall to get the flagpole down so that poor man's remains could be retrieved with some sense of decency. I have to put you on hold before the next one. City Hall jumper. Oh, my goodness, does that bring back memories. That was just horrible. That could not be. It never should have been aired, to be frank with you. Let's go back to Rick in Amherst. Basically, guys, it's been a phenomenal show. I cannot believe I pulled this out of my butt, but it worked better than I thought. Just say a few words, and I'm proving to you that we are a community because a lot of memories of infamous or famous news stories are being jarred loose today, and you don't get that in a place like Sarasota. You just don't get it. So, Rick, you had another one in addition to City Hall Jumper.
Is it okay to use a proper name?
For
you said, like, give just a couple of words, two or three words, if the words are a name.
I mean, what context are we talking about?
Well, it was a local, it was a tragic local murder.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. It's Dr. Bernard Slepian.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Bernard Slepian. Oh, absolutely, positively. That was a national news story. Was very closely followed, and it took forever to bust the guy who did it. They eventually caught up with him in France, and I don't even want to give the guy's name who did it. But here's a guy making soup in his kitchen, gunned down by somebody who was pro-life, which makes no sense.
Right. I was working it for the time for a company headquartered out in Los Angeles, and I remember hearing about this on the news at night, and 8 o'clock the next morning, California time, my phone starts ringing because I live in Amherst, and he was an East Amherst resident, as you might recall. And so my coworkers are calling up saying, asking, did you know this? Was this in your neighborhood? You're in Amherst too. And I just was, what makes it stick out in my mind was the rapidity which the story went across the country, that by the next morning it was ablaze on their stations out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the amazing thing is, as I recall, they didn't find the gun for months, and it was left at the scene of the shooting, which I have never been able to figure out if that's actually true. I thank you very much. Another name I thought was going to come up today, John Justice. John Justice. Pasquale is nodding his head. He knows what I'm talking about. Here's Ted in Forestville. Ted, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Yeah, the one thing that sticks in my head about the sports was Clint Malarchik. And the skating accident.
Oh, that
caught across the neck.
Absolutely horrible. And it damaged him so badly in so many ways, Clint Malarchik. And as I recall, they had just had medical training for exactly that emergency, and that's why he lived.
They saved his life on the ice, Tom. If they weren't there to do it, he wouldn't have made it out of there.
And Richard Zednik had a similar situation happen back during the Briere Drury days. His own guy accidentally hit him with the skate, and had he not skated to the bench as fast as he did, he might not have made it.
Well, that to me, I'll never forget that.
No, absolutely. I remember the announcer saying, "Get the camera off this. Get the camera off this."
A little blood in the crease itself, and it was this.
Clint Malarchik, blood in the crease. Absolutely. Thank you for the call, guys. I got to tell you, I'm so grateful, and I'm so impressed because, frankly, I have to tell you, this topic was a little bit out there. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to explain it. But now that we've done it for a couple of hours, I hope the point was made that, you know, I'm guessing most of you got at least 50% of these, all right? A lot of it depends on your age, okay? But, see, that's a difference between Western New York as a community where people stay, put down roots, and we're here for a while, and other places that are more transient. I could not have done this show in Tampa. Couldn't have done it. Could have done it in Tampa for Buffalo, but I couldn't have done it for Tampa.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.